Welcome to Big Foamy Head, show 26.
And this is a special sort of show.
This is a show where two podcasts get together and have a really good time.
That's right. And we opened a little different than usual, too. We were listening to some nice bluesy sort of jazz.
A little bit of jazz opening. That was Claudia Burson. And the song was Big Foamy Head Blues. So hope you enjoyed that. And I'm sure you'll be hearing more of that in the future as time goes on.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's going to race right up the jazz charts, especially since they named it after us.
I think it'll be featured on our show at least many times. So I want to thank Steve Wilkes, who is the drummer for the Claudia Burson group, who provided that to us. And Steve is on our interview with James Spencer.
That's right. And they are the BasicBrewing.com podcast known as Basic Brewing Radio.
I'm a big fan of their show. Been listening to them for a long time. And James does great interviews with people. And it was his turn to be interviewed by us.
Right. And this was a we kind of decided to do a little different show. This is all about homebrew. We're not mentioning anybody's beers. We're not making any recommendations other than brew your own beer. So we're kind of focusing on this. This is Rick put this show together. He's real passionate about his brewing, as you probably figured out by now. And it just kind of evolved. And it was really a fun podcast. I know you're going to enjoy it. And it was I think, as far as we know, the first simultaneous podcast over the internet with two different podcasts coming together as one.
Drinking the same beer simultaneously.
Yeah, and getting a buzz on.
So, at 10:30 in the morning.
That's right, at 10:30 in the morning. So I believe you refer to it as the Breakfast of Champions
show, right?
Yeah.
Let's just get right to it.
Hi, guys.
Hey,
how are you doing?
Good.
We're doing great.
It seems like I know you guys because, James, I've been watching your video casts and got your DVDs, and I listen to your podcast religiously. And it just seems like you're somebody I'd like to hang out with and have a beer with. So that's about one of the highest compliments I can to pass to you. So.
Well, thanks. And I'd like to say the same for you guys. I grew up in Hot Springs, Arkansas, so... You know, when I heard Dick, I said, this is a podcast for me because, you know, I like to listen to podcasts where people don't have an accent.
That's right. where we all talk normal.
I had to shed my accent because of, being in broadcasting. But, when I go back home, I slip back into it.
Well, good. You're passing for Northern, huh?
Well, Midwestern, I guess.
There you go.
Yeah, or California Common, I guess.
California.
Yeah. So, yeah, your business is Active Voicing, and we are trying to make your audio sound good. So we really kind of ramped up our end of it. We're, you know, not holding a phone to the microphone like we do with most interviews. So we're trying to respect your professionalism, but... We're amateurs, so hopefully the audio will come out.
Well, you know, I advise drinking many beers while listening to the podcast. And then it won't
that's right. Let's get started.
The more you drink, the better we sound.
There you go. instead of beer goggles, it's beer headphones.
There you go. Beer muffs.
So this show... this show is all about homebrews. So people that are listening... You know, go brew your own, I guess.
That's right.
But we're going to drink our stuff. We got a selection of three of my beers, and we got a selection of three of James. And let's get started. So,
okay.
Do you want to start with the Noble Trappist Ale?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. We'll crack that open on this side of the state line.
So. And it's 10:30 in the morning, so this is the Breakfast of Champions show.
Yeah.
I think that this is a podcast first, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
We're doing interstate beer consumption. I don't know if we're breaking any federal laws by doing this.
I'm pouring mine straight in the middle of the glass and getting a fairly good head out of it.
This is a big old head on that thing.
Yeah, this is... Whoa. Yeah. Your beer is staying true to the name of your podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
It looks good. Looks great.
Well, I throw a little soap in there just to make sure it's
Well, Rick's got his spoon handy, too. He likes a lot of foam.
Okay, and as all of my beers, this is a kit beer. It's a Noble Trappist Ale, and I got it from Midwest Supplies, and I recommend those guys. They're really good.
So. And it's an extract as well, right?
Yeah, it's an extract.
I've made a lot of good extract brews.
And we were talking about that earlier, the differences between, it's all malt, whether you're using a grain, a dried, or the liquid. But do you, you know, can you, I think you have to be really sophisticated to start telling the differences and if you were to make the same beer out of them. What do you think about that?
I guess it depends. With an extract beer, you're essentially reconstituting the wort that the malt extract manufacturer has taken the moisture out of. You know, they essentially make a wort, they start to make a beer, and then what they do is they, after they boil, they take the water out.
Yeah.
And so when you're reconstituting an extract beer, you're essentially making the wort that they made. So you have a little less flexibility in some of the finer points when you're making an extract as opposed to an all grain. But you're right. I think you can make fairly identical beers using both methods. Mm-hmm.
So some recipes, now that I'm getting into all grain, thanks to you in part, some recipes they require a protein rest at like 122 degrees, and then the sacrification rest, you know, sometimes you boil at the low end to have one effect, and sometimes at the higher end to have another effect. If I remember right, at one end you'll have more booze or more alcohol at the end, and the other one you'll have less alcohol and more unfermented sugars. Right.
Yeah, it's either booze or body, I guess, in your turn.
Well, that's the whole thing about brewing your own beer. You're free to try again.
So with all grain, you have that level of control, but with the extract, you don't.
But I would think at the very least, using an extract, you're going to use your water, which could change it as well. I mean,
that's true, the pH and the,
you know, are you using your tap water, adding a little fluoride to your beer? Are you using your bottled water or what have you? Of course, regions of the country. But I think it's like the difference between buying a cake from a bakery and mixing up a Duncan Hines and baking it in the oven yourself. You're going to get cake.
So yeah, I like to... that's
a good analogy. I was thinking the same thing. It's the same thing as making a box cake or, you know, making it from scratch.
I like to use the soup analogy. You know, are you boiling the chicken and making your own stock, or are you buying canned stock?
Yeah.
You know, if you buy good canned stock, you're going to have a really good soup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you're trying to make your own stock, you might goof it up.
Right.
So. Exactly.
Or you might do it really well.
This Noble Trappist Ale is really good.
It's pretty tasty. We've about finished our sample.
Can you
pass some more this way?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Mine's gone, too. My biggest complaint about Rick's beers, there's never enough.
When I was doing the show, though, I was thinking that there were little flaws in all these beers, and I was going to send them to James and have him do an expert tasting on it.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nope. Okay, what I think is happening is that these beers are aging. I'm drinking my beers too young, and I'm getting characteristics of beer that really go away if you let them sit in a bottle for another month, 2 months, half a year.
Yeah.
So I was going to say the thing that I've noticed the most about the difference between extract brewing and all-grain brewing is that the all-grain brewed beers seem to be ready to drink a lot quicker. They seem it's like 2 weeks in the bottle. Man, this is killer good.
But
the extract beers, you know, I've had several batches where 2 weeks in the bottle, you wouldn't give that to your hamster.
Yeah.
And then you wait 6 weeks or 6 months, and it's like, oh my god, this is so good.
Yeah.
So who knows about this?
Yeah. I think the most valuable skill as a home brewer that you can develop is patience. Because my first batch, it wasn't the greatest beer, but 2 weeks after it was bottled, boy, we had some people over and we drank a lot of beer, and I set like a six pack in the closet. And 2 months later, I tried one. It's like, holy smokes, this is great! It's clarified. It's carbonated. It's more mature. You know, and I really regretted drinking those two cases too early. I remember that beer.
Did you have it sitting aside in a cool, dark place, or actually in the refrigerator?
No, in a closet.
Okay.
So, yeah, once you put it in the fridge, the yeast will go dormant and quit working. So, yeah, you need to have it at, like, cellar temperatures or, you know, room temperatures. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm about to do a lager, and it wants to be lagered for about 4 months. And, you know, I've got a 5 cubic foot. I'm one of those halves that you talked about. I've got the 5 cubic foot freezer. And I don't know that I want to take up all that space for 4 months. I mean, that's I'd like to try and do a batch a month if I can. So this is I'm kind of in a moral dilemma there. Anyway, are we ready to crack the next one?
Now, have you been drinking your beer as well? Or what did you start with?
We started with the same thing. We're doing the same beers.
So you're going to drink like twice as many beers as we are, I think. Well, I don't think I have my beers chilled.
We can take a break.
Well, actually, I might have. Well, Steve, what do you want to do? You want to try just Rick's homebrews? Because we know what my homebrews taste like.
Okay.
Well, fine.
We are,
and we've got to do a video podcast after we get done with this. So, you know, well, I don't know that I want to be smacked on the video.
All right. Well, we're gonna be the designated drinkers for your beer.
As Dick says, I don't know if I want to be tore up on camera.
Why is it? Everybody likes that expression. That's so common around here.
Okay. So we're drinking your California Common. You guys want to tell us about it?
Well, it's an all grain brew. I got the recipe off the internet. It is supposed to be sort of like an Anchor Steam beer. You can't Anchor has trademarked the term or the name Steam beer now. That if you make a California Common, you can't call it a Steam beer. But what a Common is, a California Common or a Steam beer is you use a lager yeast. I used a San Francisco lager yeast. But you ferment it at ale temperatures, so you get a more fruity beer than you would if you were to lager it.
It's exceptional.
Yeah, it's very, very good.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I'm enjoying this. This is something that I did a beer trying to get something sort of like this taste, hoppy, a little bit of hop, but some kind of clean fruit taste. And I went the fruit and pale ale route, where I did some fermenting with fruit in it, an apricot.
That turned out very good, too.
It came out good. It wasn't a fruit beer, but it had kind of the things. But this is better. This is a kind of a different avenue, like you said, with the yeast, given that it's, I don't know what you would describe it. I see where you would say fruity taste. Just so you'd have some kind of word, but it's not really fruit.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of haze. It's a golden color.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
Very white head, too.
Yeah, I didn't do a protein rest with that. I just did a single temperature infusion mash with a mash out at 170 degrees. So, you know, chill haze doesn't bother me.
No, me neither.
Okay, do you recommend mashing out at 170 or 168?
Well, I say 170. It was less than that, really, because my sparge, my mash-out water was 170. You know, so the actual mash-out temperature was less than that, because I was coming up from 150-something, and then when you add 170-degree water into 150-degree water, you get somewhat less than that.
Yeah.
170 seems to be the magic number that everybody talks about as far as not going above, because you don't want to start extracting the astringent tannin taste from your grain.
Yeah, I was going to say harsh tannins, but astringent's the same. Okay. So we're pretty much done with that. Let's take a short break. And
so you've got a beer each in you, you know.
Yes,
two
we did.
Half beers.
Yes, we do. Which actually we're going light. We try and get a couple of beers in us before we start.
Oh, our last show we had one of those high energy beers, and that was two shows ago.
Yeah,
and that was our hyperactive show.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's like you got a you're buzzing like crazy.
We had an institute.
Jolt beer.
That's exactly what it was, like Jolt beer. Something I found. In one of my travels, and I packed it up. It's the can is a battery.
It's a battery.
and it was just
it's got plus minus on it. And
Yeah, this is one of those. It's like we're saying, we wish we had a camera for this thing because it's like nuclear. I mean, you could turn the lights off and watch it glow. It's a horror.
All right, let's take a break.
Okay, all right.
Little Sunflower. That's from Claudia Barson.
Claudia Barson's CD, which you can get off CD Baby. And I invite you to visit their website at cbersontrio.com.
Right. And this is from the My Foolish Heart.
I believe it's their first CD.
Okay. And our friend Steve Wilkes is the drummer on this, right?
Yes, it is.
All right. And good stuff.
Well, let's get back to the interview and hope you're enjoying it.
This is our continuing conversation with James Spencer and Steve Wilkes
from
basicbrewing.com/radio
exactly.
If you want to hit the podcast.
Right.
But visit the rest of the site.
We'll soon have a video page too, because you know now we got two podcasts going.
Yeah.
Like I didn't have anything else to do. We got
the video thing's blowing up, you know.
Yeah.
I like it. I have to give you. The best feed, I go to the video first, and then I'll listen to the audio later. I tried listening to the audio on the plane. I relayed the story earlier. And you guys were talking about the colors of the beers, and I said, well, go check out the video, and you can actually see it. And sure enough, it was much better, much more rewarding as a listener to actually watch the video and hear it at the same time.
We thought about doing video, but if you want to watch an hour of us drinking... proper elbow technique. Here's how to gracefully fall to the floor.
Well, as our friend Martin said, we got faces for podcasts.
Yeah, that's right. We all have faces for podcasts.
Well, that's not slowing me down. So, but you know, I got myself into this thing. You know, where I've got twice as much work now because I've split the two. Where the first couple of video podcasts were simulcasts of the audio version, essentially. But the last one I did was a standalone. And the one that we're going to shoot today, where we bottle our little six-packs worth of IPA, is going to be a standalone. So, you know, you're going to have to listen to the audio version and, watch the video version. But, you know, hopefully the
And the content will be diverse enough to keep you coming back.
So well, there you go. There's already a spinoff, is what you're saying.
That's right. That's right. It's like the Ropers, you know, from Three's Company.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is Joey. You are doing Friends. Now you're saying, oh, let's do Joey.
Steve will have his own podcast. Yeah. And, you know,
now, I'm watching.
Yeah, I'm working Mindy.
I don't think you're going to get a six-pack out of this thing.
Do we need a bet?
We could bet.
Is there going to be a bet?
Let's do it.
Another six pack of homebrew?
In either direction.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because I don't think you're going to get a six pack out of that bottle. So let's see. You'll find out this afternoon, right? You bottle.
Yes, we will. Okay. And we're honest guys. You know, I don't mind sending another six pack your way if we don't get. A full six pack,
and we need a reasonable headspace too. I mean, not half full bottles or
no. Okay. We'll drink the half fulls.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, what are we pouring?
We are pouring the hazelnut nectar.
Okay. This is a
rogue hazelnut nectar, and it's been fairly well aged. This is out of my
clone.
Yeah, this is out of my reserve. So.
And this is one of those spoon beers.
Yeah, this one came from Austin Homebrew Supply, and I bought it in the middle of summertime, and it was shipped by mule in 120-degree weather, and it was a White Labs yeast file. You know, I'm to the point where I really trust the White Yeast guys a little better than the White Labs guys. I just don't like that clear vial of yeast. It scares me for some reason.
I'm neutral.
Are you?
Yeah. Even though Dave Logsdon has been, he spent, Dave Logsdon of Y Yeast spent an hour and 45 minutes with me on the phone one afternoon answering all the, the listener questions that I could throw at him. I feel like I owe Dave quite a lot. I'm still, neutral on the topic because, I use White Labs yeast most of the time because that's what my local homebrew store sells. So.
Yeah, I like the smack packs from White Yeast. I've been fortunate as far as that goes. Anyway, so I didn't trust the yeast apparently fermented, though, because when I'm looking at it, it seems to be a beer. They also did not... I was missing the hazelnut flavoring when they first shipped it, and I don't know that I have much hazelnut right now. So
It's got enough.
It does have, a big foamy head.
Yes, it does. It's a thick one, too.
What's up with that?
That's a spoon beer. You can eat this thing like pudding.
But I'm enjoying, as they say on Pacific Brew News Radio, the crown. They don't want to say head for some reason.
Really? Crown?
It's a West Coast.
Okay.
I think they're just, I don't want to say they're insecure about their masculinity, but I think it's a double entendre kind of a thing.
Those guys are pretty haughty.
Yeah. Well, they're brewing professionals.
Amateurs. They're professional judges as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. So,
well, I listen to you guys. I listen to Pacific Brew News Radio, and I listen to Craft Beer Radio.
Yeah, like Jeff and Greg.
Religiously, and then I also listen to the Good Beer Show.
Right, just for fun.
So those are my beer. I get my beer fix on the podcasts.
Yeah,
it's always kind of fun listening to the bands on the Good Beer Show.
Yeah, they get some Indiana bands,
kind of wild
coming through there.
Anyway, let's talk about some of your episodes. You mentioned the one with Dave Logsdon, and I really appreciate that one. I listened to that one like three or four times just because it was so full of information, something that. I really cared about it. And I learned from it. I went out and bought the whole oxygen kit to oxygenate my beer, and I got the little squirrel cage mixer to throw some more oxygen in there. But the show I want to talk about is Bob Hansen on malting process, because my wife is from Wisconsin. So we did a pilgrimage in Christmas time up to Green Bay, and on the way we stopped by Chilton, and they have... the Dairy Queen there, the DQ, has the world-famous steak burger, and it's basically a chopped steak on a bun. So that was a little disappointing, but we ended up going over to the Breese. How do you say it, Bryce or Breese?
Breese.
Okay, to the Breese factory, I guess, or warehouse, as it were. And it was pretty much bolted down. So I think during Christmas week was probably a bad time to visit, but I was really looking for a storefront or something where I can go buy, you know, 50 pounds of malt for $2, you know, something like that. So
keep looking.
I didn't find that.
$300 worth of gas, but save a couple of bucks on the malt.
So I went down to the end of Irish Road, and there was a big warehouse and silos and grain storage and a parking lot, and that was it. So anyway, I do like those guys from Bruce.
Well, I'm enjoying the heck out of this beer.
I do. I think this is very nice.
Yeah, I've been talking.
Very
so
tasty beer.
My beer. And my glass
is full. I get the hazelnut in it. I can taste it.
Rick's a fan of strong flavors.
Yeah, I like spice beers.
Yeah, likes the spice beers, fruit beers.
Category 21
goes to the limits.
It's a Californian me coming out.
Well, you'll like the Amarillo ale, the one that we'll end on from me. Or from us, actually, because two of the beers that I sent you, the Amarillo Ale and the Porter, were actually made on as a part of our shooting our All Grain DVD. So, you get to taste these beers that you watched
you make.
Up.
Yes.
I had a question about the California Common. You mentioned it was a recipe. You got this off the internet, or did you adapt it to your own?
No, I just used what I found on the internet, and it seems like I found it on the American Homebrewers Association website, thebeertown.org. I don't know if I can find it again. I'll send you a link.
Well, you got to my next question. Some of the beers that you brew and that you show and talk about, do you post the recipes and instructions or where to get them?
Well, we talk mostly. You know, especially in the audio side, in the abstract about, you know, techniques and things, so we don't actually make a specific beer. But there is a recipe section on basicbrewing.com, but it's mostly, it's built for extract recipes, because we launched the site when we launched our Introduction to Extract Home Brewing DVD. So, you know, that's on my list of things to do, is to either add an all-grain arm of that recipe database or you know, fix it somehow.
Do you know if you're in Mid-South Malts? That's our local brew supply. The guy, he hosts the Bluff City Brewers Brew Club. I don't know if you've got distribution there.
I don't think so, no.
For your DVD?
Yeah,
we need to hook you up so we can get some
Michael
of your instructions.
Well,
one of the challenges of being a one-person company is, you know, I got to be the sales guy. You know, I got to be the producer, the marketer, the that stuff. So,
well, if you come
luckily the podcast is helping out a lot in the publicity end of it.
If you come to Memphis on a promotional tour, we'll treat you some barbecue.
That's right. We will hook you up with both of the brew stores. Here.
Yeah,
we know them well, and they know us, and they know about the podcast, and are very fascinated with it. As we learned that the Mid-South Malts guy used to do a radio show back before they invented podcasts, probably before they invented computers.
But and, he was getting liquored up.
He got drunk. they asked him to leave. There's some crazy FCC regulation about being drunk on the radio or something.
Now, let me get this. A broadcaster was drunk?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
I know. I know. Who knew?
in college, I was in with the, I majored in broadcast journalism, so, there's quite a bit of beer drinking with that crowd, and I had a minor in drama, you know, because I like to, you know, do the play thing every now and then. And those folks like to drink as well. So, there's a lot of my college days I don't remember real well for some reason.
You mean like the mid-80s?
Yeah,
same here.
James, we're diving into the award-winning porter.
Yeah.
This is not the award-winning porter.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
The award-winning porter.
It's just not in its own way. It's not as heavy as the... this is an all-grain porter that we're drinking. And I should have sent you one of the coffee porters. If we lose our bet, I'll send you some of those. Well, this is, you know, I'm here lately. I've been into brewing, you know, medium to light gravity beers because, you know, as I get older, I'm less into the alcohol and more into just the taste.
Yeah. Right. It's more about quality than quantity. You know, always fighting the battle of the bulge. So, you know,
that too.
You don't want too many beers a night. So the ones you have, you want to taste good. You know, mm-hmm. I was into the Michelob Ultra thing for a little while, and it's like, oh, that's just awful. It's like punishing
your
myself.
Senses, huh? Yeah. I tried that too, and well, before I committed suicide, I quit.
I probably shouldn't tell my joke about how I classify those beers, but
it's too late
now.
Yeah,
you should. Go ahead.
Well, I'll censor myself. You know, I have a policy on my podcast of, you know, staying pretty clean because, you know, people listen at work, and
we hear you.
I call beers like that rowboat beers. Have you heard the joke?
Rowboat.
Rowboat. Why are beers like that similar to having sex in a rowboat?
Because I gotcha.
Because it's effing close to water.
That's what it is. Oh, okay. I like that.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's you can
right.
edit that out if you want to.
Good. No, that was perfect. We love it.
We're gonna have to use that and acknowledge the term robot beers.
Robot beers.
That's great.
Yeah. Let's take a break and then we'll come back and talk about the third triad. Barbecue.
Excellent. I think that's a great idea.
Well, great, great porter. Enjoyed it immensely.
Very much.
And again,
nice,
it was
creamy,
too good. There wasn't enough of it.
It just went fast, yeah.
You need to use bigger bottles.
Yeah. Or more of them.
Or more of them. Yeah. The same problem with the hazelnut. I thought it was just delicious. It had a great head.
Yeah.
It had the hop characteristic was nice. I got some hazelnut out of it. I mean, not so much that it would knock you over, but definitely just a nutty, brownie, fun kind of give me a slice of pizza and a beer ale.
Nothing wrong with that. Very good stuff.
Another beer that's definitely improving with age because at first I was not impressed with it at all. Okay, let's take a break. Bye.
was the Claudia Burson CD, Sea Jam Blues, which looked like a Duke Ellington song.
That's right. And so far we've been pretty nice, a little back and forth, give and take on the podcast. We're enjoying ourselves real good, but it's about to take a turn to the ugly side.
We start talking some smack about barbecue.
That's right. And as you'll hear, Steve and I have just slightly different opinions about things.
And James also, because he's from Hot Springs. Yeah, so, you know, we're talking about three areas that feel very strongly about their barbecue.
That's right. So enjoy this last segment, and we'll be right back.
I said, are we recording?
We are recording. Okay, we're back to segment three, our last segment with James and Steve. And we just opened the double chocolate oatmeal stout, which we've talked about on a couple of shows, so we'll let you guys talk about it. Dark as mud.
This is a very opaque beer.
This is very Christmassy. This is, I just opened this up and it's like, man, this is like some big, big ass. Big old dessert. Big old dessert.
Yeah, we've had a couple of beers.
I'm from the South, too.
All right. And,
this is awesome.
Yeah, this is from your friend over at the home brewery.
Now, which home brewery did you get it from? Because it used to be a franchise, and now they split up. So.
Oh, Ozark, Missouri?
Different guy.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, Andy's in Fayetteville, and they're it's confusing because if you go to homebrewery.com, you go to Ozark, Missouri. If you go to thehomebrewery.com, you go to Fayetteville, Arkansas.
This is a good example of what I was talking about earlier, an extreme beer. This tastes, to me, like a chocolate raspberry truffle. It goes down really easy.
Yeah, right on.
I fed it to my wife, and she didn't label it bile beer. So she enjoyed it.
Well, what I found with this is once you get past the raspberry and the initial flavors, it's pretty much just bitter after that.
I don't get that. You said that before.
No, I don't get that at all. No.
Rick has a sensitive palate.
Well, I think I got an email from somebody this week who, after the tasting show, the bad tasting beer show, I got an email from somebody who said that one out of every four people is a super taster. And here we got four people here, and Rick
is
picking apart his beers, and we're just swilling them down. So.
I think it's a great beer. I've not had a bad beer that he's made, and your beers are just exceptional.
Oh my gosh!
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
But I eat Crystal Burgers, so I like everything.
You eat what? Crystal Burgers? Sliders?
Yeah.
Is that what they're
called? Yeah, you got it. Armpits. I'll eat whatever's put in front of me, just make sure there's enough.
Speaking of food, we were going to do a third segment on barbecue.
That's right. So, we got to bring that up.
There's a little bit going on here because we got someone from Kansas City, correct, Steve?
Yeah.
That's right.
But, Steve, we don't hold that against you.
We got a Medicaid.
Well, we're tolerant of those backward folk. We're willing to help the less fortunate.
Well, I feel like I've been hit by a medieval glove.
I'm kidding, Steve.
I'm the same. As I said on our video podcast, the only difference between Memphis barbecue and Kansas City barbecue, the only difference is that Kansas City barbecue is better. Otherwise, they're exactly the same.
I bet there's a million and a half people that might disagree.
there probably is. The barbecue in Memphis is absolutely out of this world. Interstate barbecue just kills me. I love it so much.
Yeah.
And we're fortunate. I can get here in the Megalomarts that we have here, I can get Rendezvous sauce.
Yeah,
which is great. We get Corky's. Okay. We used to have a Corky's here for a while. It went under because it was competing with one of the Kansas City style barbecue joints down the road. But no, it was very good. And they're great. They're both great. And really, they are about the same style of barbecue. Compared to the Carolinas, or compared to Texas, or that stuff they do out in California with tofu that they call barbecue.
Well, you know it's all pretty much the same, and I think in Memphis or Kansas City, we smoke the meat. It's the finish that we finish dry. Kansas City finishes wet, whereas North Carolina. North Carolina, you know, they then throw vinegar and
mustard
simmer
and vinegar, yeah.
And do vinegar and mustard.
Which
and
I like, too.
Yeah, I do, too. I mean, I like them.
I like it all. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And actually, a lot of places in Kansas City will finish dry. You'll have to ask. They'll say you want it wet or dry.
Oh, really?
And then they'll, yeah, oh, yeah. So, but you're right, classically, you might say, when you go to a Kansas City joint, they'll hit it with a mop, you know, right as it comes out, right as you get it.
Yeah.
But it's very common for us folks from that part of the world to get it dry.
Right.
And yeah, that's the same with the dry. They'll coat it with dry rub right as they bring it to
the ask you here, you want it wet or dry. Now, if you mentioned the rendezvous. If you go to the rendezvous, you do not get sauce. It's on the table. But the very last thing they do when they pull their ribs out is they sprinkle the rub directly on it.
So I was going to say, that is a difference, and I really like that about Memphis barbecue, and I've kind of gotten to where I do that when I smoke some ribs, too. I think that's a really nice finish.
Yeah, it's just a different way to do it, and I personally, lately, since I've been traveling to all the different, I've done it every which way. Just to try and get a little different, and it's all good. And Kansas City.
There's a ton of innuendo in what you just said.
Yeah, thank you. I meant to do that. I'm glad you picked up on that.
Now, you know, the big question with barbecue, and I got to get a plug in for Hot Springs, Arkansas, which is my hometown, which is really the place to get good barbecue. But they
put slaw on it.
Well, that was the question. What do you do with a coleslaw when you get a pulled pork sandwich?
Okay, if you don't, depending on where you go, they're going to put it on there.
Here it's always on.
But some places ask. I was in North Carolina, and they said, do you want slaw on your barbecue? And then they also said, did you want red sauce? I go, what the hell's red sauce? barbecue sauce. I said, oh, okay. So I thought it was marinara. You put spaghetti sauce on
a little ragu on there.
Yeah, that's right. But now, yeah, here they you got to, you know, depending on the place you go, you got to tell them. Otherwise, you know, have it my way. You know, they're going to serve it to you. Here's how we serve it. And
I worked with a guy who would take his long weekends down Hot Springs. He just liked it so much.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Beautiful place.
Yeah.
You
know, McLard's Barbecue in Hot Springs is probably responsible for Bill Clinton's heart attack. So, you know, or his heart problems. So, depending on where you are on the you know, on either side of the political fence, it's either a good thing or a bad thing. But if you want to see pictures of Bill Clinton, go to McLard's.
Yeah. So he appreciated the barbecue there. Huh?
Oh my goodness, yes. And you know, he's working in Harlem in New York City.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I would assume that there are good barbecue places up there as well.
In Harlem?
Yeah, you never know.
I bet you.
Oh, I bet there is.
Now,
you might get some good soul food, yeah.
Now, Steve taught me how to dry rub. You know, when I was doing ribs, I got the little Brinkman R2-D2 looking smokers.
Yeah,
the bullet smokers. And,
yeah.
Uh-huh. And I can do some pretty good ribs if it's hot outside and it's not windy. But to me, if I get a perfect batch of ribs and somebody brings out the barbecue sauce, that to me is a little offensive.
Uh-huh. And that's the way my wife is. She's a no sauce gal. But I guess that getting back to the difference between Kansas City and Memphis, I'm still a sauce guy. I like some sauce on my barbecue, no matter how good it is. And I always pour a little on the side and have just a little bit. I don't like to just make barbecue sauce soup, but and drown it and eat it with a fork. But a little sauce. I like good sauce.
But you just said it right there, good sauce. Kansas City is, because they like the sauce, you're not going to tolerate a bad sauce. It's part of the flavor. It's
you
not
have a few
to mask,
thousand
it's not
varieties,
to mask
right?
anything. Though,
right.
Absolutely. And I got to go with that. Here's another innuendo. I go both ways.
that's what I've heard.
thank you. I mean, I'll go with the dry rub, and with the ribs and be a real purist, but I'll also do it where I mop it, baste it, and take the sauce and cook the sauce and, into it, and then finish it with a nice glaze, and then you get it out and have that little sauce on the side. Man, it's beautiful.
Now, here's a question.
Yeah, I'm getting hungry.
I think I tripped up Dick a few months ago when we were having a discussion over rib tips, and, you know, you get all this gristle in there, and I said, well, are you a swallower or a spitter?
Yeah. Answer yes or no.
He just looked at me and blinked a few times, kind of like, I'm not answering that question.
It's like,
so let's pop
you're
this.
Well, I'm a spitter.
Me too. I don't eat that stuff.
Yeah. But I enjoy the fat, though.
Yeah, I take it all.
You know, I've heard that, too.
Where does get around?
Oh!
We were hoping for a PG rating on this show.
I think we're still
okay,
PG.
We're back. All right. Yeah, we couldn't hear you there for a
all
second.
All right, well,
we're into the Amarillo.
Yeah, the Amarillo ale, yeah.
Yeah, I brought an Amarillo ale out of the fridge while we were at a break.
Good for you.
So should we finish the double chocolate oatmeal stout, which was wonderful.
It's great,
by the way.
That's one of those dessert beers.
That was my Christmas beer.
I love that beer. And yeah. It's one that I don't think that one I would eat with barbecue. I'd eat it. I'd drink it after.
Wow! I just had a taste.
I agree.
Meal.
I had a taste of the Amarillo. It is good.
And we're rinsing, by the way. I have a sink here under my little studio. That's the sound that you hear.
Well, if we had any beer left in our glasses, we might rinse. Yeah. But we tip it up and, like, pound on the bottom of it to get every last drop.
Well, we had a little foam left, and, you know, we just want to make sure that the palate is, you know, the playing field is clear here.
So tell us about this beer. Tell us about the project you have going on and anything else you have coming up.
Well, the Amarillo ale that you're drinking is my favorite beer right now.
Mine too.
I guess in the world, yeah. You know, whether it's homebrew or not.
That's great. Good.
And thank you. And if I could brew this beer the rest of my life, I think I'd be happy. The Amarillo hops. Describe. See if you can pick up the character of Rick and Dick. What do you smell when you smell this beer?
I smell hops. To be quite frank, I mean that's as distinctive as I get.
Do you get a grapefruit?
Yes. Yeah,
Is that
Cascade?
No, it's Amarillo.
Well, that's the Amarillo hop.
That's the hot hop nowadays.
Yeah. Cascade was like kind of a standard finishing hop, and it had the little citrus floral smell, and everybody and their brother uses that. But yeah, very nice.
This is better than Cascade. I think Cascade's a little too
overused.
A little too much. Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, Amarillo is probably going to be overused here pretty quick. But
Amarillo of the hop world.
but I made this beer both with whole Amarillo hops and the one that you're tasting is with pellets, and both of them were equally good.
And we made this. In the production of the DVD.
That's right.
Coming out soon to a store near you.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. That has been on film.
That's right. And if you listen to our podcast or watch our podcast, you can see how to get a pre-release version of our all-grain DVD.
Which I did, and it's great.
Well, thank you.
Now, this is the director's cut version, right?
Well, yeah. I think there will be a final release, right?
Right. And I'm getting good feedback from people, but I'm editing things to clarify certain places. And I got some comments from Australia and Europe that, you know, chastising me for having all the temperatures in Fahrenheit with no Celsius equivalent. So I'm fixing that. So little tweaks here and there, but, you know, the majority, I mean, all the feedback that I've had is mostly positive and just little tweaks here and there. So
yeah.
I'm selling it cheaply in this first release with no fancy packaging. It's just like a DVD-R, but it's you know, good content, I hope.
Yeah. Just a little over production costs. So, yeah, I highly recommend anybody that wants to dive in and get that. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, it's very good. This is a wonderful beer. And this is like an everyday drinker. By,
And I do drink it every day. In fact, I've got to brew some more because I'm about to run out.
Can you post a recipe, or would you be willing to?
Yeah, I could. I could send you the. Well, I wish I had it right here. It, I mean, it's a simple recipe. It's like 10 or 11 pounds of two row, 1 pound of 60 Lovibond crystal, mm-hmm. and then like you know, an ounce of Amarillo for bittering, half an ounce for aroma, and half an ounce for flavor.
Or did you dry
vice
hop?
Versa.
So I did not. I did not. On your boil, or are you just doing a? How many times are you adding the hops? Just at the beginning of the boil, and then
At the beginning of the boil, and then I do flavoring hops at 15 minutes before the end of the boil, and
okay. So 45 minutes, right?
Then like a couple of minutes before the end for the aroma.
Yeah, and then like 5 minutes before the end for the aroma, and I didn't dry hop at all, but it's got plenty of hop aroma.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful. I mean, that's the beauty of a good beer. It's a lot of times it's very simple. I mean, that sounds about basic brewing. Here's hence the name.
Yeah. Well, what about the yeast?
California ale yeast, and this is actually a yeast
that's white hops, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And this yeast that that made this beer that you're holding, this is like the fourth or fifth batch that I've used that particular yeast, because I washed it, you know, I've been playing with yeast. Yeah.
Well, you changed the characteristic of it then. I was just reading about that last night maybe I heard it on one of your shows, is that if you're going to use acid wash yeast, you need to use that every time or not at all.
Right.
That's what Chris was saying.
But I didn't use acid, though. Right. I just used sterilized water. So, you know, I didn't use acid. If you go to the Y Yeast page, they have a page on how to wash your yeast with just you know, water that you've boiled to sterilize it. So you're right. If I did use acid, it would change the character of the yeast. But I didn't. You know, essentially, it was just washing the tube and the dead yeast cells out of it.
Yeah. See, I do listen to your shows.
Yeah.
He's trying to catch you.
It wouldn't be hard.
All right, gentlemen. I appreciate it. Yeah. Speaking of which, I made a huge mistake in one of the last ones. It was talking about enzymes in six-row malts, and it's like, I shouldn't talk about stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I zoned out a little bit when you were done.
Yeah. Well, I was absolutely wrong. I mean, I think there are more enzymes in the six-row.
You don't suppose all the alcohol inside you had anything to do with it?
Well, it could be the energy beer that we were drinking. So, all right, gentlemen, we have to get together sometime and eat some barbecue and drink some brews. I think
I'm all for that.
Absolutely. We want to invite you here to Fayetteville for some ribs and some pulled pork and some homebrew.
We may have to do that. We may have to do not just one of this, of course.
Or meet halfway in Hot Springs.
We're making
we're
making podcast history right now with the cross-podcast.
Neighboring States.
Neighboring States show. And the next logical step is we're all in a big room drinking beer and eating barbecue.
Sounds good, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm a big fan, so keep it up.
Well, same here.
Right.
Thanks.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
We'll talk to you later. Bye.
See ya.
I want to thank James and Steve for a wonderful interview. It was a good time.
Yeah, it was a really good show, and this is something a little different, I think, for both of us, and we appreciate their time that they spent with us, and I hope they had as good a time as we did.
And we are loving the fact that we have a blues jazz song that we can play the Big Foamy Head.
And that's what you hear playing in the background right now. We thank you very much, Steve and Claudia and everybody, and you know, this was a special event for us. We hope you enjoy it. Look for us to do some more things with them in the future. And be sure to visit their website at basicbrewing.com/radio and watch the video, too, where once again, Big Foamy Head manages to insert itself.
We're just pimping ourselves left and right.
That's right. Watch the video segment on Basic Brewing called Bottling the Six Pack IPA. And that's James and Steve.
The outcome of the bet.
Yeah, the outcome of the bet. And this is what the inside secret. These guys are three or four beers into the bag when they're doing this show, thanks to us.
Because they went straight from this show to recording their video.
That's right. So good show. Thanks, guys. And see you next time.
Bye.